And welcome, my guest, 5th District Alder Jens Jorgensen is here, and we appreciate you coming in.
Thank you for having me.
I tell everybody first, I know it's tough getting up before 7 o'clock and schlepping in here. I know that. But it's a morning show.
And no traffic. It went right in here. No problem.
I always have a car behind me coming in, generally on 16th Street when I come in, right on my tail. And he can't wait to pass me because he's late for work. I'm not late for work. I come here in plenty of time. I allow over 35 minutes extra, but he's late for work, so he's going to stay on my bumper because he wants me to go faster than 30 miles an hour. And it's tough on 16th Street to pass because there are cars parked.
Mm-hmm.
So he is trying so desperately to push me. You know, I'm not going to go any faster. Why should I go faster? I allowed it plenty of time.
No, Lombardi time here. 15 minutes early, you're on time. If you're not 15 minutes early, you're late.
Okay, everybody's asking. So we're going to get this elephant in the room out right at the beginning. Jens Jorgensen. Jens is short for what?
It's an old Danish name, actually. So it is Jens Jorgensen. It's similar, you know, like a Jim, those kinds of names. It's actually my great-grandpa's name, Jens Jorgensen. He very Danish. However, though, he went by Norman. And my
where did
mom,
you get that name from?
You know, that's my good Jorgensen family question. My mom, when she was dating my dad, or they had just been married, or right around that time, Jens passed away, and they went to his funeral on his headstone. It said Jens Jorgensen, and my mom goes, "Who is that? I thought this was Norman's funeral." She didn't really know that his real name was Jens until she saw it on the headstone that we went by Norman.
Is it creepy to see a tombstone with your name on it?
You know, I guess I never thought of that.
It would creep me out. And I'm sure there are plenty of Donald Rosens who are dead. I just don't want to see the headstone.
Right.
Because it's like Ebenezer Scrooge at the end, the Christmas future, seeing his headstone with Ebenezer Scrooge on it. Right. I don't want to see that. Okay, you've been in the city council for how long now?
Since April, so 6-ish months.
Is it everything you had hoped and wished for?
You know, I enjoy getting to serve the district, the residents of the district, and help to work for the city. However, it is mind-boggling the amount of arguing and tribal politics that are there, with very little getting done sometimes. I mean, there's some meetings where we spend the whole time arguing what committee we want to send something to, and we get to the end, and my wife goes, "Oh, what did you guys get done tonight?" You know what? I don't know if I could really give you a full list of material things we got done. I can tell you somebody scored a political football, but other than that, not a lot. However, it does seem like we're making some traction. One of the big things that I wanted to do is work together with everybody. And so I've made sure that, you know, my first thing that I got done, and we can talk about that, I'm very excited about it, stop sign. But that that
no one's going to pay attention to.
Well, I neighbors say that it is. I'll give you the full rundown on it. It seems to be doing good. But that was accomplished with Henry Perez, him and I. He was a co-sponsor of it with me. And so I don't care, you know, if you're a Republican, Democrat, if you, you know, like the mayor, don't like the mayor. Politics aside, I think we all just want to get stuff done. That's what the residents want. I think they're just tired of having the political footballs trying.
But don't you think arguing is kind of healthy a little bit, because it brings out both the best of both sides. So when you finally have the bill or whatever you're passing, it's well thought out, and the good points from one side, the good points from another side, make it in that bill. So arguing shutting down the government is not healthy.
And I think that's where the line gets drawn. If we're I think arguing maybe too harsh of a word, debating. If we're and it's truly something for the city, there's a tangible item, we're really trying to figure it out. All day, I'd love to have those discussions, and those are some of my favorite times in the council chambers. But when it's the political football of, I want this to go to my committee because that's the committee I'm on, or I don't want it to go there because I don't like the person that's on that committee, that's not helping anybody. It feels like, you know, petty politics at its worst, unfortunately.
Now, you're the new kid on the block. Did they make you wear the little beanie like in college when you're a freshman? You had to wear the beanie on your head to designate that you're the freshman. You had a sign, kick me on the back. All, you didn't have that stuff.
None of that, but there are a lot of times where I have to talk to those who have been there longer because I've been told the budget season is wild here. And so I'm looking at my calendar next week. My wife and I, we always sit down the week before and plan, you know, what we're going to do for dinner, what we have the next week. And every night next week is pretty much something going on with the city. And she's like, oh, I might not see you. And I go, well, you come to City Hall, watch a budget meeting and spend some time that way. And she's not going to be doing that, I guess.
You know, I always wondered when politicians in Wisconsin who are members of Congress, whether it be the Senate or the House of Representatives, when they go to Washington for a long period of time, they're away from their family.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their own apartments over there in Washington, but they're away from their family. At least when you go to a meeting, you're home that night.
Right.
Hopefully, unless it doesn't go till 2 o'clock in the morning, you're home. That's got to be tough on people.
Oh, I couldn't imagine it.
Oh. That is tough. Okay, let's talk about, go through your list here. Let's talk about that stop sign override because I want to talk about the other stuff later on. Let's talk about that stop sign you mentioned.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll give you the backstory on this. So it's on St. Clair and Lombard in my district. And when I went, when I was running for office, I knocked on the majority of the doors in the district multiple times over. And a pretty common thing that came up was people would go, you know, I need a stop sign here. And 9 times out of 10, it was usually the corner right by their house, which makes sense. They see all the accidents. They see, you know, people, you know, running the other stop sign or almost near misses. However, when I was in this area of the district, people would go, I need a stop sign. And I'd go, oh, right in front of your house. And then, no, 3 blocks that way on the corner of Lombard and St. Clair. Those yield signs have to be turned into stop signs. And that happened over and over and over again. And I'd be 3-4 blocks away and it'd be the same thing. There was a lady I talked with who said, you know, when I was teaching my children how to drive, I taught them to go around that intersection. Don't go through it. You go up and around and then back down again. Do not drive through that intersection. And that got me thinking, wow, you know, this is clearly something that's been this way. There was a lady who had been older and she goes, I've lived here for a long time. It's been that way forever. The city's never going to change it. They don't care. And so I really wanted to get this changed. And I put it in. I submitted it right away when I got on there to do a traffic study. And they come back and say, yeah, there's some accidents there, but it's not enough accidents. And it's fine. You know, it's totally fine. Just leave it alone. Leave the yield signs. And I just didn't sit right with me. I feel like the city's job in a lot of things is to really listen to the residents' feedback. You know, we have experts on the staff who are experts at their craft and are great at giving advice from their point of view. But also the council is there to provide its point of view and its point of view should be coming from the residents. And so, I invited anybody to come out and take a look at that intersection, sit there for 30 minutes. I'm sure the neighbors would stop by and tell you all about the accidents or the time that a car was thrown into their front lawn or this happened. Terrible, terrible accidents that happened there. And you'd see people blowing through the yield sign. You know, there was a guy who came through it and he would tap his brakes in the middle of the intersection, which good thought. But that's not how the yield sign is supposed to work. And so the neighborhood just said, we need something better. And so, I would talk to any and all of my colleagues who would listen about how terrible this intersection was and how we needed to override the staff recommendation to put in a stop sign. And Henry Perez, who is on the Public Works Committee, heard my pleas of how important this was, and he wanted to be a co-sponsor with me. So he signed on, and the first thing that I got through was him and I together pushing back that, yes, the staff recommendation is against it, but there's laws in place that allow the council to overrule that and override that recommendation for a reason. This is why we have a city council. And so it passed 14-1, almost unanimously. And it was a very long discussion about stop signs and should we do this? And ultimately, the vast majority of the council decided, you know what, it's time that we do the right thing for that neighborhood and the right thing for the neighbors.
I think it's going to be called the Jens Jorgensen stop sign.
Well, you know.
You know how people get streets named after them? You've got a stop sign named after you. That's pretty neat.
Well, and, you know, I can't take all the credit. There's so many neighbors there that should have their names well above me.
Well, then we'll put E.T. Owl et al.
Yes, exactly.
We'll get them all on there. Okay, now, you wouldn't think it'd be that difficult to get a stop sign put up because they're all over the place. You're stopping all the time. You wouldn't think it would be that difficult.
No, especially this one, because, you know, if we wanted to put a stop sign on Main Street, yeah. I get it. That's there's a lot of studies that go into it. It's a big deal. This is deep inside of a neighborhood. You're really not going through here unless you're going to someone's house, coming from someone's house. There's not really a reason that you'd be using this as a major thoroughfare. And that's where I think the line kind of got drawn in my mind.
Put a stop sign up. It's not going to hurt anybody.
Yeah, exactly. We make them here, so it's not like this. It's this crazy expense. It was up the very next morning or at the wee hours of the morning. The stop sign was swapped out right away. And the neighbors already have said that they've seen a vast improvement, a huge quality of life improvement in the neighborhood. And so a victory all around.
I can tell you right here, the one on Victory Avenue, right in front of our station, I think one out of every two people makes an attempt to stop. I see it in the morning. I go out there and boom, they blow right through it. And there's some people that tap their brake once just to say, well, I tried and I didn't make it. And it's not a four-way stop either.
Right.
But they figure it's early in the morning. No one's coming the other way. And mm-hmm. That's not true.
No, I really feel like just in general, the traffic through the city, it's so dangerous. Cars, you know, the speeding is out of control. Yeah. I'm very excited for Main Street to open. Main Street through my district is now going from
you got that whole zoo area there.
From four lanes down to two now. So it'll be two lanes. Yeah. And that's another, I think, huge victory for the neighborhood where there's folks who live on Main Street. I was talking to them the other day, and they're so excited because, you know, previously those lanes were, you know, right alongside their front yard. And you step off the curb and you're in mass traffic. And now there's the parking lane, a bike lane, and then the single lane of traffic each direction. And so there, a couple of people were telling me they're excited to have their front yard back. Their front of their house is back open again. They're not worried that if they step off the curb, you know, they'll be pancaked immediately. So they're very thankful for that. They're very excited. But I think there's so much more work to be done, especially on that corridor. One of the things that's important to me is, you ever go to any city and you see those yellow crossing signs, pedestrian crossing mm-hmm. signs, you press the button, they flash yellow. We don't have any of those in the city, which is mind-boggling to me. You'd think that we'd have more of those, but we don't. And that's another one where it's been an uphill battle to get those done, but hopefully we'll be able to get those put in as a part of the budget. That's my hope. Because there's so many school children that are walking to the zoo. There's families going to the zoo, to the beach, and, you know, just to the lake in general. We need to make it safe for people to walk around, especially in a neighborhood as dense as the 5th District.
My guest, Jens Jorgensen. He's 5th District Alder in the city of Racine. We're talking about a variety of topics here. Let's talk about those crosswalk signs. Is that what we just talked about?
Yes, those crosswalk signs. They're just so important to make it safer in the neighborhood. And it's going to take the entire council working together on that. I mean, if we want to try to build a safer Racine to be able to walk around, the whole council is going to have to come together. I am happy to say, though, that even in my short tenure on the council so far, I've seen that there has been some recent comings together. One of them that I'd be remiss if I didn't give a quick plug for, the Swim Racine.
Let's talk about that, because we had a couple of deaths recently.
Yes.
Then on North Beach.
Tragic. And so the council came together, you know, to improve signage, put a safety vest there. A lot of folks are coming together on it. They actually have an event, a listening session on October 28th, my birthday. It's at 5:30 to 7:30.
Hold on, send gifts to where now?
No gifts. But yeah, 5:30 to 7:30 at the library. You know, stop on down. Lakefront safety is so important all the time. You know, people when I travel around or I'm talking to friends who really don't spend a lot of time on Lake Michigan, they don't think of it as you know, crazy as it is. And it's an ocean. I always like to say, you know, Racine is on the ocean. It is not what you'd think of, you know, of, oh, you go up north to your small lake. It has, you know, a tide. It has rip tides. There's strong currents. And so that group is going together to make it safer to be on the lake.
Getting the listening sessions at the library.
Yes, 5:30, 7:30.
And that's tomorrow.
October 28th. I have a listening session tomorrow.
Okay, let's talk about, that's what
I'm talking about. About mine. So mine tomorrow is at 6 o'clock. It's at the Cesar Chavez Community Center. And really, it's just an opportunity to come together, much like theirs is, come together. And I'll give an update on what I've been working on the council. But most importantly, I want to hear what residents have to say. We're going into the budget. Want to hear what folks, what priorities they have. It's going to be a tough budget this year. And so getting that feedback of you know, what's important, what they're looking for, and just hearing their concerns and their ideas. Most of the things, most of my best ideas come from constituents. The stop sign there, I would have never thought that intersection needed that stop sign, but it was so important to the neighborhood. I knew right away that it was a...
Okay, I'm going to give you my complaint now.
Okay.
Okay? And every alder that comes in here, and the mayor, I give the same thing. On Main Street, especially, the manhole covers, they're like 3 inches below the street level. And when you hit them, you think you broke an axle. My next door neighbor said, next time you get somebody in there, tell them about these manhole covers, especially by before you get to the zoo on Main Street, just south there. There's a manhole cover. Now, my wife and I are going to go out there with a tape measure when traffic is non-existent out there. We're going to take a picture of it, and we're going to post it. We're going to say, look, this is 3 inches below the street level. Why is nobody fixing that? And it's not that you can go over it, because if you go over it, you're in the right lane or you're over the line, depending, you know, how.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'll hit those potholes.
But what are we doing about it?
I know. Public Works. It's one of those things where they're so busy. They have so much stuff on their plate. But I just feel like we've got to prioritize things like that, because Main Street is an important thoroughfare. I hit them every time going home. Or if you avoid them, you're swerving around and you hope that, you know, the police officer doesn't think you have.
Get the police officer. I know, with the guy next to me slamming into me or me slamming into him.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it absolutely. It's it's unacceptable.
And how come we have all these orange barrels all over the city? There's detours. I never see anybody working. Every time I pass an intersection or somewhere where the orange barrels are, there's nobody working here. Where are they all?
It is very frustrating. I know that a lot of it, though, has to do with, you know, one of the things that we've done, actually, in my time on the water and sewer department, on those committees, is we have a mandate to remove all of our lead service lines. And so when you do that, there's a lot of, you have to open up the street. There's a lot of different folks you have to get in, because the people have to come and remove the lead service lines. But then you have the street open, so then you have to review the water main. But then you have the street open anyways. Now you're looking at the sewer. And so there's sometimes a lot of folks who have to play a part in doing a lot of coordination. But I agree. When I every time I go past some of the orange barrels and there's nobody out there.
There's nobody there.
Or you feel like progress hasn't been made. You know, nothing's been paved for weeks now, it seems. But hopefully we're coming to the end of...
And also the speeding on Main Street. Now, I live on Main Street, and I could hear how fast they're going. Plus, they put these loud things on their mufflers now. And I hate to sound like an old codger. Oh, those kids today. I hate to sound like that kind of person, but I'm that kind of person. They are just speeding down Main Street. And if a little kid walks out in the street, they're gone. They can't stop. There's no way to do it. I don't know why there aren't more police at intersections on Main Street just catching some of these people, even if you put a fake police car there. Just park it.
Yeah, police, as well as they call it traffic calming infrastructure. And so, you know, road diets is another name for it. You'll see it on Main Street through the 5th District.
Hold it right there. I got to hold you over after the news, because I wanted an answer on that one. That's good. We're talking to 5th District Alder Jens Jorgensen, And the 5th District is where now, just so people know?
The 5th District is north of the zoo. It's kind of by the zoo, the lake. So it's east of Douglas, for the most part, north of Gould. Kind of tucked in there, nestled in there right along the lake.
Just follow the orange barrels.
Yeah, follow the orange barrels. When you get to the part of Main Street that you can't go on anymore, that's the 5th District.
Okay. Jens Jorgensen is with me. 5th District Alder is here for a few more minutes. We just want to clean up the calendar of everything we were talking about. Want to go over the listening session because I want to make sure people aren't confused. Your listening session is tomorrow. This is yours.
Tomorrow. Yep, that's mine. You can talk to me.
And we have one at the library coming up on October 28th, and that's to deal with?
That's with Swim Racine. They're doing a listening session.
But you'll be there.
I will make every effort to be there. There is a budget season during that.
That means you won't be there, okay.
But I'll try. but that's with folks like Corey Sebastian is helping lead up Swim Racine. So if I'm not there, you'll still be in good hands with her. But yeah, Swim Racine is October 28th. That's at 5:30 to 7:30 at the library. But if you want to talk to me specifically for 5th District issues, that's going to be tomorrow at the Cesar Chavez Community Center at 6 o'clock.
And now where is that center, so people know?
That's up on Douglas. The address eludes me, but that's up on Douglas. It is not technically in the 5th District, but it's very close, within a few blocks.
See, when I say I'll try to be there, that's key. That's code for I'm not coming. Yeah. I don't know how it works with you, but people say, oh, can you come? Oh, I'll try. He's not coming.
I will every best effort, but yeah, the budget season is tough.
I know. So how's it coming, the budget season? Now, I'm going to ask you because I know we get government funding, federal government funding, and the government is shut down. We know that here because we're trying to get some things done and the government's shut down here. When we have to deal with the FCC, there's no way to deal with them. What are you going to do if this thing keeps going on? Because we need government funding and you're not getting it.
Right. Well, budgets are always tough. Every year, it's a very difficult time to do the budget. However, that adds quite a new complexity to it because there's funding questions. But also, too, like you said, with the FCC, if you have to reach out to anybody, the lights are off. Nobody's home in a lot of those departments right now. And so that makes it really difficult. If there's last minute questions, if there's things that have to be done, there's impacts up and down all over the place on it. It really is making it extremely difficult.
Here's what people don't understand. How come members of Congress in Washington are getting paid? I thought nobody's getting paid. How come they're collecting a paycheck?
It doesn't make any sense. If
I got news for you. If Mike Johnson or the head of the Senate, the Democrats or the minority heads, if they weren't getting paid, you'd be sure this was all. The president shouldn't be getting paid. Nobody should be getting paid.
Right.
The vice president. Nobody should be getting paid. You see how fast we get this thing solved.
Well, absolutely. We're asking TSA agents and air traffic controllers to come to work without pay. I think it's crazy to me that
in 3 weeks.
Yes, absolutely. This is not a short amount of time. It's impactful. Their families. Imagine if with your budget at home, if you still had to go to work for 3 weeks, but not get paid for it, how you'd pay your mortgage, how you'd buy groceries. You can sleep soundly knowing that your member of Congress is still being paid.
I don't get that. And members of the military, I think now they're going to get paid, but they weren't getting paid either. But our heads of the House, the House of Representatives and the Senate, they all got their paychecks. And there's something unfair about that.
There is. Absolutely.
And they're the only they can vote themselves a pay raise. I mean, I'd like to go to my boss here and say, by the way, I'm getting a pay raise this week. Want to put that through payroll? Who else can do something like that?
Right. No, this is another one of those issues, too, that I truly believe transcend politics of Republican, Democrats, anyone on the street. I feel like we'd all join together on that.
We don't talk politics here, but now that I got you in here, I can talk politics for a second. Thank you. Jens Jorgensen, our 5th District Alder. Don't forget, he's got a listening session, and that is happening tomorrow, 6 p.m. at the Cesar Chavez Center. And that's on, you said Douglas Avenue?
Douglas, yes.
Douglas Avenue. You'll find it. 6 p.m. And people can bombard you with questions about anything, right?
Yep. Anything is on the table, ready to talk, ready to listen.
You're a nice guy. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And putting up with my questions about.
Anytime, Don.
The budget. Yeah, thank you. And your dad was in radio, you said, right?
Yeah, my dad, that was what he went to college for. He was on the radio. He was in New London. He was in Fort Atkinson on the radio. And he was the morning guy. Did country, all across the spectrum.
Well, and what years were those? What years did he work in radio?
Well, he, I can tell you when he left, and that would have been, I was born in 1996. He left in 1996. He had to go get a job to pay the bills, I guess. That's when
was
he went
working at WCLO in Janesville?
Not in Janesville. He was doing it in Fort Atkinson,
okay.
SJY.
Yeah. Okay. Because I worked for that company. WRJM was owned by the same company that owned CLO.
Oh, sure.
For a year, about 15 years. And so we would have been working together. But we're not. So, well, thank you, Jens. I do appreciate it. Fifth District Alder Jens Jorgensen, thanks for coming in this morning.